through my veins. On the pitch where the glory remains, the cockerel stands brave on the crest. North London pride, this ain't no jest.
Welcome to the best Irish show on YouTube. Yes, you've got the two best Irish Tottenham supporters in the world. Of course, Dave is number one. I'm closing these tails at number two, but we are the best two. And somebody's called us the Double Ds. That's a new nickname for me. But welcome to Irish Lads Talk Spurs podcast. This will be going up on all your podcast stations in the next 24 hours on Spotify, on Amazon Podcasts as well, where me and Dave weekly talk about the club we love, the despair, the annoyance, how much they put us in a shit mood, but we do love them. And me and Dave, funnily enough, are still riding high on that European glory. We're still riding high on that night in Bilbao where we beat Manchester United and Sonny lifted that European trophy. But joining me, of course, is the big man himself. He is the man that got me into YouTube. It's Mr. Dave Hyas, the Irish Hotspur. Dave, how are you this afternoon, sir? And great to have you on, actually.
No, I'm keeping well, Dermo. See you lot. It's been a long time coming around this between me and you both being cancelling and stuff like that. So, you know, it's good to finally get around to it. I do apologise. Being late today is my fault. You know, something came up last minute that I had to do quickly, so we had to push it back. But, you know, good. Good to be here, Dermo.
Yeah, I see you nodding your head to the music. I tell you, I like the song.
Do you know what, lad? I'm not a massive rock guy, like that rock sort of, but, you know, I can manage it with Tottenham in it.
Yeah. Well, that was Colum that sung that, funnily enough. Colum did that, so he's a very good, talented player, man. But I loved the bit he put at the end. He put the kids, which is something we're going to talk about as well today, the under-21s, and have Tottenham missed a trick with the youngsters that we did bring through under Paratici, and we'll Paratici go back to that again. We're going to talk about the latest on the transfers, why Tottenham a mess when it comes to summer transfers. Me and Dave are both angry over this. We're going to talk about Eze and Kudos. Who's better? Who would you prefer? And also just a little bit on Thomas Frank as well and the season ahead. And do Tottenham fans seem to forget we are European champions? Has that now gone to the wayside after winning that trophy? But we'll still welcome a few people in as well if we can. Big up to Tequila 316. Big up Tequila. Hope you're well. He says, big up to the double D's. Exactly. Big up to Dan Davenport. It says, bring me Kudos and bring me Sunshine. Well, you can have one or the other. You can't have two. I am sorry. And he says, big up Tequila, big up Dermot and David the Irish, David Harris Army. Yes, exactly. We've got big up to Carl Simpsons, big up to the best double D's on YouTube. Well, thank you. That nickname's going to stick now. You do know that. We've got Dan sent big up Dave Harris, the world famous Irish Hotspur, of course. Big up the Shawnee Maddox as well. Big up Shawnee. Boo! Who's the young lad talking nonsense? Probably me. Dave talks sense and I talk.
I was going to say, who's the young lad here? You know, I did get a new haircut recently, Shawnee, and as you can see, you know, it is making me look very much younger. So I wonder, are you complimenting me there, Shawnee?
Yeah. You are younger. You're only in your 30s. Then I'm nearly 50. So, yeah, you do have.
Yeah, but I was looking 40 there for a while. The season aged me, you know what I mean? I needed a couple of weeks off just to decompress, you know?
Yeah. This is...
Back looking 30 again.
You do. You're looking back. You know, that season did age us, to be fair, Dave.
Oh, man.
It was one hell of a season. Don't speak too loud, Dave. Colum's ego, get out of control. Please don't feed it. He's already such a diva. He is. Looking good, Dave. It's aged us all.
It did.
I want to start on that, Dave, right? And look, I want to do a little bit looking back because it's been a while since you and me got together. And I want to look back at Bilbao and the season's end and your sacking. Look, we broke 2 weeks before anyone that Ange was going to get the sack. And I was left with, when the news came through, of being really disappointed the club sacked him, but being happy because it vindicated what we broke. So it was very mixed feelings for me. But I think Tottenham have made an absolute horlocks of a decision of getting rid of Ange Postecoglou. I really do. Where you want it? Do you think the club have made a mistake?
Do you know what, Dermo? I sort of live by the mantra, and I have done for my time on YouTube, where it's sort of like you got to go through the dark times to get to the good times. And I've always maintained that the good times will come around. Mm. Now, last season was tough. It was a fucking long, tough season, you know, losing game after game in the Premier League, stuff like that, you know. It's really hard because, I'll be honest, Dermot, that's not something I've experienced since, like, the 90s. I was sort of a young lad. I was really young. I was a kid. You know what I mean? But, you know, the experiencing it as an adult is something completely different, you know, and it gets you concerned, gets you angry, upset, you know, to the point you're lying in bed, what the fuck, you know, you can't sleep, stuff like that. But saying that, you know, in years gone by, we've done relatively okay in the league, finishing in between 8th and 4th, what have you not. But we've never really had any really good cup runs since Pochettino, you know. And for me, like, I enjoyed the Carabao Cup run under Ange Postecoglou. You know, we took out Man United, Man City, two teams that usually when we come straight up against, we're bounced out. You know, Man City beat us just before we sacked Jose before the cup final. I think, you know, wasn't it Chelsea that knocked us out against Conte in the semi-finals and stuff like that? So, historically, when we come up against them teams, we've been bounced out. And when we get that draw, I'm sort of sitting there going, oh, well, that's that cup run over. Whereas we got by a couple of legs, took Liverpool in the first leg as well, you know. So I enjoyed that. And then the Europa League run as well, Jeremy. I really enjoyed that. I know some Spurs fans maybe dismiss it. You know, and they go, oh, yeah, but, you know, Champions League teams couldn't drop down. But go and look back at the run we had under Jose Mourinho when Champions League teams were dropping down. We were playing teams that no one's ever heard of. At least this time around, we played some decent enough teams across Europe, like your Rangers, your Galatasarays, your Frankfurts, AZs, stuff like that. Under Jose Mourinho, we were playing the likes of Wolfsburger, you know, fucking Lask. You know, teams like that, we got bounced out by Dynamo Zagreb. And I don't take the Europa League win for granted because Poch tried, couldn't win it. You know, Jose tried, couldn't win it. You know, Nuno tried and Conte tried in Conference League, couldn't win it. You know what I mean? So European trophy shouldn't be taken for granted, you know. Fair play to Postecoglou. When he walked in here, he said, the aim is to win trophies. Even the season before, the press were asking top four. Don't speak to me about top four. If you are, get out. Speak to me about winning trophies. This is what I'm here to do. Now, last summer, I was of the opinion when the window closed. And do you know what? I was a bit hurt last summer, Darmo, because, you know, I was fully behind Ange Postecoglou. But when we signed Ange Postecoglou, I think many of the Spurs fans were under the illusion this guy's a rebuild guy. If you go back and look at what I was saying back at the time when we signed him, I said to people, he is not a rebuild guy like you're portraying him to be. He's like Jose and Conte. Mm-hmm. He wants to come in and have the fastest
way
to success. You know, win now manager. And the club got it wrong. You know, the January of the first season when he needed help, they brought in Dragosin and Werner, didn't do anywhere near enough to alleviate our problems. Then over the summer, you know, the signings were coming in ticking fast. And, well, not ticking fast, but the signings were coming in. And I was very underwhelmed with the signings as we were making them. You know, and I put my feelings out there, and it's almost like all the Ange fans and all the people pro Postecoglou disowned me. You know, Dave, just shut up, be happy. You know, it doesn't matter. Postecoglou will make it.
I know what you mean.
I'm trying to scream to people. I'm like, look, you can't keep going under guys that the manager is the only guy, you know, is the be all and end all at this football club. It's not the case. Recruitment has to come good. You know, all the structures in and around behind it, the medical department, everything else has to be right for stuff to really work on a consistent basis. And you can't just keep going, oh, the manager's magic. Don't worry, Dave. Sit back. Watch this manager cook. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. I can't do that because I know a manager's only as good as the tools he's got to work with. Yeah. You know what I mean? And for me, coming out of the summer transfer window, was our last word of Spurs and everything. And I said, look, this season is going to end in catastrophe one way or another because of the transfer window we've had. Then we had another opportunity to rectify it in January when we knew we had the problems we had. We went out and signed more youngsters, bar Kevin Danzo, to try and solve the problems. And then after that, everyone blames Postecoglou because, well, he's got to make it work. Okay, but I sat there, I said, Tell is never going to be the guy to come in here and pick up the slack. So then why are we signing him in the January transfer window if we need for the here and now? So I actually feel aggrieved to Postecoglou to a certain degree that the club fucked them over to a large degree. You know, people go on about the money that was spent, but what was it actually spent on? Last summer, I came into the transfer window going, you bring in four or five proper players, you know, this team will kick on and we'll go and challenge across multiple fronts. They didn't do that. And last season, the likes of the naivety from the likes of Tell, Udibar, Gray, players like that come back to haunt us. It come back to bite us. As good as Bergvall done, how many points did he cost us giving away the ball just outside the edge of our area and stuff?
Yeah,
you know, so it's a double-edged sword. It's a fine line. I'm okay with developing youngsters, but you've got to do a couple at a time. You can't make the majority of your squad youngsters and go make that work because the inexperience on the pitch has got what's going to cost you points. And if you don't put enough points on the board, you lose your job. And just like we've seen with Postecoglou. And look, I had a cynical opinion when we sacked Ange Postecoglou because, Darmo, we were at the stage off the back of winning the Europa League, right? That there is no doubt about this. We can't go into the summer transfer window signing what we signed last summer. There has to be ready-made players brought in now. And my cynical opinion was the board looked at that and goes, well, we don't fancy spending 50, 60, 70, 80 million per player to bring in four or five of them. So we're going to pivot. We're going to sack this guy, bring in Thomas Frank, who's known for developing and stuff like that. Yeah. And we're not going to go into this summer buying the likes of your Eze's, your Semenyos, and these sort of players. We're going to keep going down the route we've gone down. Now, what pisses me off, all the reports out there, we're looking at this, this, and this, but the ones we actually signed, brought Matisse Tell back, even though he didn't solve a problem. Yeah. And Takai, or whatever you want to call him. You know what I mean? They're the only two we've signed. So, you know, at the time when I expressed that, people going, Dave, you're just mad, psychotic, conspiracy theorist. 1 month later, how well does my conspiracy theory stack up now? Stacks up very, very well. Now, look, don't get me wrong. I'm going to give the rest of this summer an opportunity, and I am going to give Frank every opportunity that I've afforded every other manager, even Nuno. I will give him that opportunity. But I'm concerned with how this window, because there's also been a lot of excuses made by Spurs fans around this window. Has. You know, I was out there a couple of weeks ago expressing my disharmony at the window. I was on Last Word on Spurs expressing it. And, you know, people saying, oh, Dave, you're just being angry. You're just being negative. You know, what about this? What about that? I'm like, okay, but what about the window where, you know, teams have just gone and signed, you know, their marquee players? Oh, but they're on the Club World Championship now. Liverpool aren't. They brought in Frimpong and they brought in fucking Verts. They're not in the Club World Championship.
No. Nope,
Man United true. Brought in Cunha. They're not in the Club World Championship. You know? So this is my that excuse doesn't wash. Then you hear, oh, we have to wait till the 1st of July for the new PSR window. Okay, but we've more financial freedom than all the teams than Chelsea, Man United, Liverpool, and Man City. All the teams that sign big marquee signings in that little window. We've more scope than them. So if they don't wait for PSR window, why the fuck should we? Then you also see 4 Levy Towers being built off the back of another stand. So there's your transfer window. It's absolutely embarrassing. It's gone tits up. And I urge Spurs fans, stop making excuses for what the club aren't doing and start putting them under pressure to start getting the results. Because the reality is, most fans wanted Thomas Frank in this door because he adapts. He's a coach. He does this. But then back your boy and start demanding that this club bring in fucking transfers. Because if they don't, he is going to suffer a very similar fate to Postecoglou, but in a slight different way. He will do better in the league, but he will be bounced out of the cups, and he's not going to get us all the way to top four and stuff like that. And then Spurs fans then have a moral dilemma. Okay, so we experienced a shit Premier League season, but win the Europa League, and now we've experienced another fucking no cups, but a league season. And I think many people go, no, not having this. We need to be challenged for trophies. So for me, if you're one that wanted Frank in from the first place, get after the fucking board and get pressure on them.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. Look, we won the Europa League. I was so happy, and I've burst out in tears on YouTube. Yeah. I've never done that before in my life. But as the summer's gone on, we said a couple of weeks ago that we were getting SA. And you know yourself, I you know me, I'm pretty, I don't get everything right, but I'm pretty 95% in with the news. And I got told this morning, we're going to miss out on SA. We were 95% done with SA. All we had to do was dot the I's and cross the T's. Now I'm being told that Arsenal are in the running to buy him. We've got kudos. Yeah, I know Sean said that David Austin said that we've made a bid for him. A bid's been accepted. No bid's been accepted yet. We're just not buying the players that we should be buying.
For the last year and a bit, right? And this isn't just by you, by the way. And I'm not having a pop at you at all. So don't think I am when I say this. You know, but there's been this narrative portrayed that investment is coming, this, that, and the other, right? But then there were conflicting reports from journalists out there going, well, Spurs don't have the cash flow. You know, Spurs don't have the money. So I think, you know, in one breath, most Spurs fans are sitting there hanging around for this massive investment. And at the time when I flagged up them comments, you know, by Simon Jordan, who knows Daniel Levy very well, by the way, they speak very regularly, you know, it's don't worry about it, Dave. Of course we have money, this, that, and the other. Okay, why aren't we spending?
Exactly. I mean, for what I've been told, we're very tight on money. We're not as this big rich club as everyone thinks we are.
Like, they need the investment, but is there one actually coming? Do you know what I mean? It's been it's been perpetrated longer than a season. It's been going on for about 2 years. This has sort of always been dripped, fed in and out of the media, but never actually bloody happens.
What I think on that is happening is that I think Levy's doing that, ballsing that up again, like he ballses up everything he does. He ballses up every transfer window, and he ballses up this as well. And I think there is a conflict between him and the Levy Trust, the Lewis Trust, that, hang on, we need investment here. We're happy. We're not going to invest, but we're happy for somebody else to invest. And Levy's going, no, you invest. And then go, no, we're not going to invest. And you've got somebody there who wants to invest, can't come in because Levy's ballsing this up again. And then they come out with these big pictures of Levy Towers behind the back of the stadium, which looks absolutely horrendous, by the way. I think it makes a mockery of what Tottenham Hotspur stands for. It makes a mockery of what we are as a club. We're not a club anymore. You, me, know this. You, me, grew up under the spirit of Bill Nick and what Tottenham Hotspur was meant to be. What's Tottenham Hotspur come over the last sort of 10 years, Dave? You and me both know that we're not the club we were. We also know that when we went to Crystal Palace, how woeful was that display and atmosphere that day we went. The atmosphere was brilliant in the pubs, brilliant in the high road. We were walking up to the to the protest, which was another complete calamity as well. Was it on? Was it off?
Yeah.
You know, it was just a whole calamity of just us making stupid mistakes. And look, I understand your frustration, and it is frustration. It's not negative. It's frustration because we all want Tottenham to do so well, don't we? We all want us to win. We always want to.
It's just about kicking on, Dermot. You know, like we're off the back of winning the Europa League, Dermot.
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
Like, the idea isn't to sit here and restabilize ourselves again and put another 4 or 5 year plan in front of us how to get back there. We're there now. We've waited so long. We've got there. Now fucking kick on. Bring sustained success. And what brings more pressure about it, and where I get more angry, Daniel Levy comes out after having his, I won't go there, but you know, after having his, being fit, smoozed by fucking Vinay, you know what I mean? Then he comes out, we're going to win a Premier League, we're going to we want to win a Champions League. Okay, then why are we sitting here with no marquee signings then? You want to go and win that, you've got to bring in some marquee players.
Yeah, I don't know who Tasfo 1 is on about, but you can get behind English. Who's the English fella here, by the way? We're both Irish, so don't insult us. Don't become an insulter calling us English here. We're both Irish.
Where's my camera gone? I'll fix that now in a sec.
Yeah, I was wondering where
at the end of the day, Dermot, you know, he's entitled to his opinion. He's entitled to his opinion. But look, you know, this team get behind the club. I am fully behind Tottenham Hotspur. You know, if you know me, you see the sort of how fanatical I am and stuff. I'm fully behind this club. But, you know, just because I call it out, it doesn't mean I'm behind it. I could argue I'm behind it more because I'm not willing to sit there and just clap along and everything else. I want better for this club. That's it at the end of the day. That's what it comes down to, man.
It is. Digila knows the one thing that pisses me off when somebody calls me English. I lose the rag. I do lose it completely. That's one thing I hate. I hate being called English. Dave knows that as well. It just really grapes me. I'm Irish and I'm fucking proud of my country. Look, let's talk about Thomas Frank. I know we talked about transfers and Thomas Frank. Look, Thomas Frank did well at Brentford, Dave. We did the tactical sort of show on Saturday, me and Steve, showing his tactical sort of awareness where, you know, as much as we all love Ange Postecoglou, there was some
Where's Darren? He's back. You're back.
I'm back. So I don't know why. I don't know why my internet's playing up today for some reason. Where we were shouting at Ange to make changes, just change something. And he didn't. Do you think that Thomas Frank will be that man to make that change? He does. He seemed to do that at Brentford, doesn't he? He has a plan A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. Do you think that's what we need at Tottenham? And I know Carl put in the likes of Højbjerg. I think Højbjerg could have done very well for Postecoglou, and he could have done well for Frank. Would you have kept him? But do you think also on top of that Thomas Frank will bring that bit of stability that we need in the dugout where we didn't get it completely all the time under Ange Postecoglou?
Yeah, look, I'm a bit worried about painting Thomas Frank out to be this messiah because at the end of the day, you know, people praise him for keeping Brentford afloat in the Premier League, right? Great, but we're not just competing in the Premier League. The guy has no European experience whatsoever, right? How's he going to handle Champions League? Under Brentford, you can still maintain cup runs alongside a Premier League campaign. Yeah, He's never been able to do that. You know what I mean? So I'm worried about painting the guy out to be the messiah, because reality is people can praise that achievement all they want. When I was younger, Reading came up from nearly got into Europe. You know what I mean? Off the back of coming into the Premier League. Chris Hughton stabilised Brighton, you know what I mean, into the Premier League and stuff like that. So I'm very hesitant just to praise him for stabilizing Brentford. I think everyone paints it out like, what a great job. But how much of that is actually how much of that is down to the owner and his actual scouting model? Because he owns a business called, is it Starlink? Not Starlink, something like that. Basically, he owns a professional gambling company. And that gambling company is set up to go and minefield all the data from these betting companies, find odds that are maybe priced wrong by the bookies, and then professional gamblers pay for that, and they lump on it, and they all make a killing. He's applied that to his data model, and their whole data model is to find undervalued players on the market that are going to become good. So how much of the development is down to Thomas Frank, and how much of it is actually down to the data model actually really working? You know, so again, I'm a bit hesitant in that regard. However, look, there is things I do like about Thomas Frank. I think he can't just copy and paste Brentford ball. Spurs fans won't put up with that. They'll hound him out the club within 3 or 4 months like they did with Nuno. So he is going to have to adapt and bring a bit more of an attacking style. And in his interview, he alluded to that, which I'm absolutely delighted about. But when it comes to Thomas Frank, I think there's quick things that he can bring from Brentford, implement, you know, before any games get going in pre-season, which will actually make us instantly a better team. One is defensive set pieces. We were atrocious from, actually embarrassing from defensive set pieces. Vicario coming out behind Chris Wood, you know, missing the ball, you know, players not jumping, letting players, you know, run off the back of them, not picking up people, you know, absolutely, completely embarrassing. We conceded, I think, 12 or 13 goals from defensive set pieces last year. Brentford only conceded 2 all season long. So if he brings that in, automatically you can concede less goals from set pieces, which is one of Tottenham's biggest vulnerabilities from Jose Mourinho's era, by the way. If people go back and look, it's been a consistent problem at Tottenham, defensive set pieces. If he brings that stability, that'll automatically put more points on the board, push you further up the table.
Yeah.
Attacking set pieces. You know, I think they scored 4 or 5 more from us from attacking set pieces than what we did last season. So again, you maximize that output, puts more points on the board. So instantly makes us a better team. His defensive structure he had at Brentford, which gave him the platform to be able to go after teams. If he implements that at Tottenham, then he's away with a good league campaign. We're automatically improved straight off the bat. But the problem is, he can bring that defensive stability, but we don't have the forward line to put points on the board. And the reason why I say that, how many Spurs fans wanted Ivan Toney before he left for Saudi to fix our problems? How many Spurs fans wanted Johan Wiese to come into Tottenham and fix our problems in the forward line? How many people have been screaming for Mbeumo to come in and fix our problems in the forward line, which highlights our forward line is nowhere near good enough or up to standard? Because at the end of the day, yes, defense wins you leagues, but goals and going and your forward players is what wins you games, and we don't have enough of that. That was our big problem last season.
Yeah, it was.
You know, we had patches where we could go and score 3-4 goals a game, and then we had long patches where we didn't look like scoring. We need that consistency. So if Thomas Frank is going to come in and bring the defensive stability, then the club need to come to the fore and bring in the attacking players to go and help him go and win the games.
Yeah. I mean, look, we are working around that Romero could be going to Atletico Madrid, so we're losing our main defender. I'm just making sure to stream okay, because I know me and Dave were sort of hopped in and half out. So just to make sure if the stream is working okay, guys, let us know. I was saying the other day, Dave, about Harry Kane. Harry Kane did the job of two strikers. He did the work of running deep and playing the number 10 sort of behind the front two, pinging in them passes to Sonny. And then he was your goal-scoring machine, 6-yard goal-scoring machine, doing it up front in the box. So if you look, if we lose, we could lose Romero. We need a top striker that does the other bit of Harry Kane, because I think Solanke's more of a deep-line striker than he is a top goal-scoring striker, if you know what I mean. So we need that. And we need a number 6. Is our squad strong enough? You look at that back four. I had it yesterday, and I wanted to bring this up with you today, actually. Let me just find it where it is. Now, without Romero, if he goes to Atletico Madrid, we're left with Kevin Danso, 26, Mickey van der Ven, 24, Radu Dragsin, 23, Kartu Taka, 20, and Luka Vecevic at 18. So you need another centre-back there if Romero goes to Atletico Madrid, which is more likely he is going to go. Is that back? If we play the back five, which Thomas Frank does play, how many more centre-backs do you think we need? Do we need another 2? Or do you think another 1? Because you've got Danso, van der Ven and Dragsin, all Premier League experience. So probably that will be your 3.
See,
but you've got other 2. You also got Ashley Phillips and Dorrington.
Yeah.
So are we blocking also? Are we blocking the youngsters coming in? Because they're very good defenders, Phillips and Dorrington.
Do you know what it is, Darren? I get at Brentford, Thomas Frank could switch between formations, right?
Yeah.
But he had 7 days between every game to drill it, work on it on the training pitch and everything else. He's not going to get that as soon as this season kicks off. He, like, you know, you finish the game on the weekend, right? You're at home Sunday. You're in training ground Monday. You're flying out across Europe, right? You play your game. You're not back to Thursday. Friday's a recovery day. All of a sudden, you're back into your game on the weekend. So he's not going to have that time at Brentford. So he is going to have to streamline to a degree what he's done at Brentford to Tottenham. So I'm not saying he's not going to switch up formations, but if you're not working on it as much, how effective is that actually going to be? I have my questions about it. However, look, when you look at the defenders we have, I'll start with Christian Romero.
Yeah.
We sold Harry Kane under Postecoglou. Mm. Postecoglou's known for attacking football.
Yeah.
And whether people like it or not, it's cost Postecoglou his job. If he had Harry Kane,
I did.
Who knows what would have happened that first season? Mm. And who knows what would have happened last season? The end of the day, the guy, and I think many Spurs fans are surprised, you know, since he's gone, how much slack he actually picked up in that forward area. Not only scoring goals, getting on the ball, turning, playing orders in, creating, everything else. So in effect, Postecoglou was always doomed for failure as soon as we sell our best front player underneath a guy that's brought in to play attacking football. If you sell our best centre-back under a guy who's known for his defensive structure, you're setting him up for failure. It's going to go the exact same way as it did with Postecoglou. You sell Romero, Kevin Danzo and Van de Ven are good. You're still in the same problem you had last season when Romero and Van de Ven were injured. The backups ain't good enough. Sorry, Radu Dragosin, people protect this guy. He had a run of 21 games last year, back-to-back, by the way. 21 games, back-to-back. He was fucking useless. He was absolutely atrocious.
He was.
And then I hear, oh, he's going to be better in a back three. Well, I'm sorry. The sign of a good centre-back to me is a guy that can play in a back two without having the protection because he's asked to deal with what's coming his side on his own. In a back three, it stinks of a guy that needs fucking protection. So for me, I question Radu Dragosin. Also, off the back of his ACL, there's no guarantee he's going to come back and be fit for the start of the season. And if there's complications, it's going to be January before you see this guy again. So you can't guarantee that this guy is going to be ready. And if he is ready, how ready is he going to be to fucking deliver some quality straight off the bat? I'm sorry, Koto Takai. I don't want to hear anyone say to me, this guy's going to come in and play. It was the same with Yang when we signed him last year. Where are we going to play him? I said, we ain't going to play him. Look at the size of the kid. He's going out alone. We ain't playing him. You know, it's a bit, you can't expect these guys to come straight in from the likes of the J League and stuff like that and just come into Premier League and hit the ground running. Very rare does that happen. So for me, you know, we can't sit there and go, we've got a great option in Takai. No, everyone had to do with Danny Rose. Everyone had to whip out Google and go and find out who the fucker is. Luka Vaskovic, don't get me wrong, I am super, super excited about. This guy has been a man since he's fucking 14 years of age.
Yeah,
he's 6 foot plus. You know, he's dominated the Croatian League when he was playing as a kid. You know, he's dominated fucking Poland the season before. And last year, he dominated Belgium. You know, this guy is a man. He's whipping up men's leagues at 18 years of age. And to be honest with you, name me one bad Croatian player we've had at Tottenham Hotspur. Every Croatian that has walked through the door has always put in a solid shift for Tottenham and never, ever caused any problems, ever. So for me, I think this kid, I think, will be the one that would be in and around the first team and could potentially get minutes. I would look out on that. Phillips, look, the reason why he was loaned out is because he wasn't the best in possession. But his loan spell at Stoke and Plymouth, he's become better at that. He's become a better defender. Alfie Dorrington, you know me, I've always been raving about this kid. You know, ball playing centre-back, stuff like that. However, I think he will be loaned out again just to sort of bulk up a little bit. He's still on a bit of the slight side. And if you compare him to likes of Vaskovic, Dragosin, Phillips, people like that. So I think he'll go out alone again. But look, I don't want to touch a centre back, Jarmo. And I think the window for centre backs is completely over for us. We gave Ben Davies a 1 year contract extension.
Yeah.
People are under the disguise that, oh, well, we've done that so we can recoup a fee. What? We've done that so we can recoup 500K. We didn't do that. And anyway, even if we did do that, Ben Davies still has the option to go, will I leave? If you're on 85K a week, you're 33 years of age,
you're going to give up 85k a week for one more year when you know how much that's going to be valuable to you when you retire and stuff?
You're not going to do that.
So he's here for the year. And then we went and brought Koto Takai, which means we've got about 8 or 9 centre-backs on the book. So our centre-back window is over. We ain't signing any centre-backs this summer. We don't need to. And if we do, we're pissing about and allocating funds in areas we don't fucking need to.
We need strikers and we need wingers. Look, I don't want Romero to go at all. I agree with you with Draxton, by the way. I think he's a waste of space. And that came about for me when he got sent off in our first Europa League game.
Karabak, embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. Kevin Danso, though, I think is a decent defender. I like Danso. I like his attitude. Maybe he's not. He needs to adapt more to the Premier League. But you don't get rid of your best two centre backs, which is Romero and Mickey van der Ven. You throw the absolute lot of Romero. You make him the highest paid player in the club. You give him the contract that he wants, and you say to him, "This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to progress. This is what we're going to do in the transfer market." And you give him what we've done. We let Harry Kane down. How many seasons, Dave? Season after season after season. And Harry Kane got pissed off. And he said, right, I'm out of here. And you can't blame him for that. You can't blame Harry Kane for that. And then we're all sitting here wishing, oh, we had Harry Kane back. Now, I made the mistake of saying at the time that we got other strikers coming through. Lord, did I make a complete cock up on that one. And you were there telling me, Dermo, no, you're wrong. I know this was going to happen. And I have to say, you were absolutely spot on, Dave. I'm not sitting here blowing smoke up your ass, but
no.
I'm saying here, we're going to be fine. And you said, no, we're not. And it proved out 2 years later that we're not fine. Harry Kane did the job of two strikers. Solanke can only do one. So we need another striker to do the second part of Kane's job, which is scoring goals. You look at our midfield. I think our midfield is okay. We need probably a winger. We probably need another wing back as well, I think, to cover Porro's position. Yeah. But Jed Spence can play there as well. So I think Jed Spence, for me, is a bit of a unknown. Mm. Can he switch to left and right? Is he going to be a wing back that can play in the right side and the left side? I think he can do as the season goes on, as his career continues. But and you look at Ben Davis. Why the hell did we sign him for another year? He's just taken up a space that we don't need. That we could bought in another centre-back, another decent centre-back. If he wanted to pay three at the back, then we had three decent centre-backs. We played three at the back against Everton. What happened? We got torn apart. When we're under Conte, when we're under Mourinho, we're playing three at the back. Fans were complaining, Dave, we don't want to play three. Dermot, we don't want to play three at the back. We want to play four at the back. We go on to play four at the back under Ange, and what are fans crying out for? We want three in the back. But you were saying three in the back was boring. You were saying three in the back wasn't good enough. So you can't have your cake and eat it. And there's you and me have always agreed, Dave. We've always preferred four at the back. You play your four at the back, you play your three in the midfield, and you play either a holding man behind two strikers up front, or you play your three, two wingers and one striker. And that's how it works. But this three at the back nonsense, we complain so much about it. It doesn't work unless you have three decent centre backs. It just doesn't work.
No, look, I'm not a fan of three at the back. Never was, never will be. No. Right? You know, for me, I look at that as more of a defence for a system. Now, look, there are some attacking variations out there. Alonso at Bayer Leverkusen, you know, as an example, you know, but they're very few and far in between. For me, I've always preferred the four at the back. I think it's a very simple structure to get right. You play your two centre backs. You know, if you want your two fullbacks to push on, you tell your CDM to sit in front of the two centre backs, just like Wanyama did under Pochettino. That way, you always keep three back and you have your screen, which means anything that comes down the side, if your CDM hasn't read it and can't get out there, then your centre back can go out there and he can slot in there and pick up that void. It's a very easy system. Or you if one fullback's gone the other side, the old fashioned, you tell the other one to tuck in if you don't want your midfielder to do the job. It's a very easy system to get right.
It is. Look, when our transfer market, Dave, and look, we complain, you and me complain constantly how bad we are at the transfer market at the moment, and the players we're not buying and the players we are buying. look, we all know John Lang's not good enough. Scott Munn's been put out on gardening leave. We know Paratici's coming back into the club, getting his role again. Do you think Paratici needs to bring back Gabbiadini as well and get rid of John Lang? Because I see John Lang as another Steve Hitchin. He's another man that everyone gets to blame bar him. You and me said at the time that Steve Hitchin never, ever got the blame he should have got. And he didn't. And everyone was saying, oh, we'll blame Levy because Levy hired him. Hang on a minute. You can blame Levy for hiring. You can blame Levy for not sacking him. But you've got to blame him for not doing his job. Paratici Gabbiadini come in. He sets up a whole new system that the under-21s do brilliantly. We've finally got a decent new setup at the club. And we've definitely got a scouting network that rivals the best. And we were bringing in decent players. Romero, Mickey van der Ven, Vicario, Udogi, Porro, Bergville, Archie Gray. I think Archie Gray will turn out to be a decent player, by the way. I just think he's just so used to playing everywhere else last season. I think he was just plain knackered. So if you look at the players we've brought in under them, John Lang comes in. Who does he bring in? We had a woeful window last summer. And I agree with you. The summer last year, we did not back the manager one iota. Ange was managing with one hand tied behind his back. And we both said that at the end of the window, this is not a good window. And we both got criticized for it, Dave. We both got told we're being negative. We both got told we both got abused from it. And we know what we're not going to go there, but we both did get abused for it.
The thing is, I think the logic behind that, though, is simple. You know, like people go, it's like at Tottenham Hotspur, right? It's like, well, you know, between the talent on the pitch, there's a 70% gap between us and Man City. You as a manager, we want you to, you know, somehow magically drag us up to that quality. Mm. It's impossible. You just take yourself back to any team anyone played in when you were younger. You know, your local team is a great example. If you've got a guy at left back, you know, which was usually the case, a guy that couldn't kick a ball with either foot, usually you shoved him in at full back. You can't legislate, you can't blame the manager if he can't. Yeah, if he cost you goals or cost you games and stuff, you go and you speak to him. You put your arm around him. Look, you know, we'll work with you. Like, you know, we'll work on this. So I'll get the ball. I'll run at you. I'll show you what to do and shit like that. You can't keep going blaming the manager and go do something about it. Like, it's like, what can he do? You know what I mean? He's trying to set the team up with enough structure and put his best players in the positions where he thinks they can affect and win the game. But if you have players that aren't of the desired quality in other areas and let you down, there's nothing the manager can do about that.
No. There isn't. And Stevie hits a hit. Frank will manage one hand behind his back too. Cheap signing.
Well, he's already gone into the season on the back foot now. Look at the business everyone else is doing. Yeah. He's already gone into the season on the back foot.
You look at Liverpool. I know you said it about the club or club, but you look at Liverpool have gone ahead. Man City, we don't even know what's happening with Man City yet. And on all this debacle with the Premier League, by the way, which I think is another utter disgrace that even that hasn't been sorted out yet.
Man City are one of the big draws to the Premier League in terms of revenue from Europe and everything else. They bring so much eye, sponsorship money. They will never do Man City the way they tried to do everything.
No. And they're trying to work out a way, how do we look like we are doing them by not doing them? And you can guarantee that becoming out. Chelsea, you look at Chelsea are expanding. I don't know how many more players Chelsea need, but they're buying players. And look, PSR does play a lot into it with a lot of other clubs, and you are right to say that Tottenham don't have that problem. But Daniel Levy's an accountant, so you guarantee he's thinking, do I put this on the next 3-year cycle where I don't have to worry about it for another 3 years, or do I put it on this PSR cycle where I do have to worry about it? Yeah, and he's sitting there thinking, he's kicking it down the road, which doesn't do us any good because
it's not even that. It's like, as an accountant, you're trained not to take risk, right? You're trained to make sure, you know, the numbers are good and stuff like that. But where he fails to recognize, and I think many Spurs fans are okay with that. Like, we don't want a club that's crippling with debt and, you know, potential at some point, if the economy goes bust, Tottenham go bust. We don't want that risk. I'm okay with that. But there has to be a recognition. The fact that we've got so much scope to take risk, when that time comes about, you've got to capitalize on it. And that's where he fails. Like you said, instead of going, right, now's the time to capitalize off the back of Europa League. Because the reality is, right, if he delivered a marquee signing back then, Spurs fans would be more patient now. If he brought in a manager of a much bigger name than Thomas Frank, right? You don't think that would have an effect on selling more season tickets, more demand for the new jerseys, people trying to get the latest name on the back of it and everything else, you know, more revenue and stuff like that. But like you said, when the risk comes about and it's like, right, now's the moment to seize, he goes, well, if we can wait till the 1st of July, push this into the new it's a load of bullshit. You know, don't come out saying you want to win Premier Leagues and Champions League if you're never going to take the risk.
And he did. It surprised me he said that. And I'm thinking, but you haven't proven that over 24 years. And I laughed at it. We're going to win the Premier League. We want to win Premier Leagues. We want the Champions League. Yeah, with what? You don't have that in you. We need new ownership. Look, I know behind the background there is a takeover happening. There is other clubs. There's another party that wants to take the club over. Now, I know a lot more than what I can let on because of NDAs that I've been told I have to adhere by. And I will stick to that because I don't want to get anyone else into trouble.
But when does this come true, though, Darbo? Like, if this comes true in August, it's fucking too late. Do you know what I mean? It's too late.
That's the problem.
It's already almost too late now.
Yeah, it is. And that's the problem. It's like, I was speaking to somebody yesterday about it. And it's like, I said it to him. He more or less agreed with me that it's Levy delaying tactics. It's like, I don't want to give up this, what I've got. So I'm going to delay this as long as I can to get the best money, to get the best price for me. And you think it's okay thinking that, but what does that do to the football club? What does that do for us fans? It just delays us getting body. We're the 1st of July, Dave, and we haven't bought. We're obligated to buy Danso, and we bought Mateus Tell. Really big signings, underwhelmed by both, if I'm being frank. I really am underwhelmed by both. They're both squad players, and that was it. We're obligation to buy one, and the other one, we only got 30 million off because of what Bayern Munich owned us from Harry Kane. So that was basically a freebie. Are you alive now, Dermot? No, I'm never alive. I'm always dead. Again, it's just pushing it down the road, and we get to August, we get to start the season, no new signings, and then fans are wondering, well, why aren't we making new signings? We get to the Champions League. Whoever we get in the Champions League, we're going to get absolutely mullered because we haven't got the squad for the Champions League. Now, I mean, I love the Champions League. We're in the Champions League, great. But Dave, are you really looking forward to it? Or are you sort of looking forward to it because we're there? But there's a part of you that thinking, shit, we're going to really struggle if we don't do something now.
Look, the reason why I say to people, always enjoy having European football, regardless of what European football it is. I grew up and all my childhood, thought that we're never in Europe.
Yeah.
Never. You know, we were a mid-table team who occasionally could get a cup run together. You know, that's what we were. You know, I'm out there with my mates to like Tuesday evening. Oh, Dave, I'm heading in now, 7:30. I'm like, it's 7:30, it's early. Yeah. We've got Champions League, man. You know, Liverpool fans, same. Chelsea, Arsenal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? All around me, all the same. I'm out there under a street lamppost practicing my skills because I'm, you know, Tottenham aren't in there. You know what I mean? So I'm sort of left on my own. So in them times, I was always going, I will have my day. Tottenham will be in Europe one day and I'll enjoy it. So when it comes around now, regardless of the squad we've got going in, I'm going to enjoy it. There's nothing worse, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, even recently when what was the season we had no European football? Last year, not last year, season before under Postecoglou.
Season before. It was
no
boring.
European football. During the week, I was bored, you know, sitting down watching other teams on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night, sitting there going, where's Tottenham? Not used to this. You know what I mean? So when European comes around, I'm always excited for it. Always excited. Lily white, all white, under the lights. No better fucking you, in my opinion, right?
There is no better.
Brilliant. Yeah. That's what we're in this for. However, it's going to be hard watching us be passed about. You know, we're going to try and, you know, try and get a hold on the ball. It'd be more like what Liverpool and the Carabao Cup second final, semi-final, second leg out there. We go to chase the ball to pop it round. Next guy goes to chase it, pops it. Mm. Couldn't get fucking a hold of the ball whatsoever. That's what it's going to be like in the Champions League.
I know.
Unless we bring in forward players that can retain that ball and actually pose a consistent threat. If they do that, we can nick games. We can nick points. If it did go in as the squad as is, we are going to be passed around and look amateur.
Yeah, we are. We really are. I'm just trying to look. if people are just joining us, there is some news going around. It looks like Tottenham will miss out on Eze after putting in the early work and getting the deal almost done over the line. Arsenal are now currently favourites on Eze. So that's the latest we've got on Eze, which really infuriates me. I'm really pissed off over that. Look, Dave, the last bit of this before we end off, and I've really enjoyed this. I'm looking forward to next week already. The youngsters. Are you under 21s? We're going to cover them this year. I know you will as well in some of your games as well. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to do with you. This has been my first season of really getting to know our youngsters. I'm really getting to know what they're all about. So I'm really, really looking forward to following them in pre-season, following them during the season. Paratici came in. He rewrote the rule book when it came to our youngsters, into our academies, and how well we did do, Dave, under his stewardship. Become very successful, didn't we? We won the Premier League Cup, and we were very successful. But some of them youngsters haven't made it into the first teams. Only Mikey Moore and Dean Scarlett have really shown, played more than one game. Mm-hmm. You got the likes of Alfie Durrant. You got Dorrington, Ashley Phillips. You got the young lad that scored again in Europe. He's gone to Doncaster Rovers for the season, which I think is a good loan for him, actually, by the way. I think he's going to get good exposure.
Ajay.
Yeah, Ajay. I really like him, and I think he's going to get good exposure. And Colm has said he will keep us up to date and he's betting on. Dave, when it comes to youth, and you look at the rest of the Premier League, are Tottenham now falling behind the rest of the league? Because you look at Man City, their youth. You look at Liverpool and the players they bring through. You look at Manchester United, the players they do bring through. Are we now starting to fall behind again, where we were up there with them, but we're starting to fall behind again? And how sort of annoyed are you that we haven't used these youngsters that were so good in the first team?
Look,
I think we've used a lot more of them.
One thing I've always said, and I've always tried to express in my channel, Dermot, you know, people go, oh, we can't give them a chance, can't give them a chance. I've always said, go and look at most teams around Europe, even most teams in the Premier League, look how many of them are using some of their own academy products. You know what I mean? Tottenham are one of the only ones that don't. Look, when Paratici came in here, one thing he done brilliantly was, I think Daniel Levy was of the opinion, you know, if we get one player that can play Champions League football is at that level, brilliant. And didn't really sort of recognize the academy to a large extent. Paratici walked in here, sat Daniel Levy down and said, look, how do you think Man City are getting away with what they're spending? No one talks about the amount of money they've made off academy product sales. You know, you're like Sabazunu, Darmo, the Irish goalkeeper. What did they get? 30-odd million?
30-odd million for him,
You know, there's been quite a few others as well. Cole Palmer, players like that. Yeah. You know, they sell them off for massive money. So Paratici sat Daniel Levy down and said, look, you can't look at the academy this way. If you look at it and go, right, if you bring true players, we'll also go and attack other academies around the country and try and bring in some of their best players as well in here. Eventually, you're going to get to the point where you're producing 7, 8, 9 players. Of course, not all of them are going to walk into the first team, you know, and stuff like that. But you're going to be of a good caliber where you can sell them on. That enhances your transfer budget, helps toward PSR, all that sort of other bullshit. So he's made Daniel Levy understand that the academy can be used just more than an exercise of trying to produce one player for Tottenham, that you can actually make money off it. So Daniel Levy got on board with that. Paratici then started going after other players from academies. You know, Will Lancashire brought in from, I think it was Sheffield United's academy. What was that guy we brought in from the Chelsea Academy? We've seen some.
Oh, I know who you mean. I can't think of his name.
Sun Suk Bell. You know, there's another guy we brought in, Callum Logan, I think, from the Ipswich Academy. There's another guy we recently brought in from Man City's Academy. We brought in Tyrrell Ashcroft, I believe, from the Reading Academy and stuff. Yeah. You know, you look at the guy we've just signed from the Leeds Academy and stuff like that. So, you know, by doing that, he's actually dragged the academy up to an elite level academy in English football, whereas once it was like a shit academy where, you know, they might produce a player here or there. Now it's actually got to the point where it's an elite academy producing plenty of talent, you know, so fair play to Paratici on that. But the big thing around that is before he came in here, we had players that were being offered contracts for Tottenham Hotspur. For instance, Nonu Madueke was offered a contract when he was in Tottenham, you know, a professional contract. He turned it down because he didn't see the pathway. And what was the other guy that ended up leaving and going out to Belgium? Dennis Sirkin, for instance, refused his contract, signed on at Sunderland. Now he's back on our shortlist to come back in here as a left-back, a player I was screaming to be given a chance under Jose Mourinho when the likes of other full-backs and all were being shit.
Yeah.
You know? So they were walking away, and then you're seeing these players then being snapped up after a season or two for massive money. You know, that also sort of got into Daniel Levy. But the big thing Paratici came in and done, it says he changed the approach in the academy to, with the academy, the old guy, John McDermott, it was an approach of pay them as little as possible, make them hungry. Whereas Paratici said, well, that's why these players are walking away and then a year or two being sold off for massive money. If you want to keep them around and you want that fee, you've got to pay them what they're worth.
Yeah.
So that's why the likes of Donnelly signed on the dotted line, Dorrington, Mikey Moore. You've got to remember, Mikey Moore, Real Madrid, Dortmund, everybody else interested. You know what I mean? So we have to start playing these players what they're worth or what they feel like they're worth. And we've done that, which means we've been able to retain all of them. Where I get pissed off, for instance, right? We bought Bergvall in from the Swedish second division. He gets his opportunity in his natural position. Donnelly plays left back. The guy's never played full back for the academy. In fact, it's actually so disrespectful to the guy. That's a guy that played striker all his life for the Tottenham Academy, banging in goals, 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 goals. They bring in Will Lancashire and they say, he's going to be our striker. Donnelly, we're going to get you to be the supplier slash sort of second striker. Let's see if you can adapt your game. The kid then goes and adapts his game from a goal scorer to an all-round provider. You know, and that, like, everyone praised Will Lancashire for the season where they went and won the Premier League too. But it was actually Donnelly that provided all the balls for Will Lancashire. Yeah. He had so many tappings. Donnelly was spraying balls, you know, from out the left-hand side, the right-hand side, you know, from the centre circle, right onto Will Lancashire's dick. Do you know what I mean? You couldn't miss it.
Yeah.
You know, the guy was absolutely unbelievable. He was spraying things around, Kevin De Bruyne-esque. When they played at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, Donnelly caught rose to a new level. Some of the reels that were coming out with his passes.
Yeah.
You know, you'd send him out on loan then to the likes of Leyton Orient last season, right? When has a Tottenham player ever gone out on loan and played as many games as Donnelly has, but also contributing in such key roles the way Donnelly has for Leyton Orient, which is the caliber of the player. So when he comes back this preseason, be fair to the kid and give him an opportunity in a position where he can fucking make a name for himself, shine, and potentially make a manager think a little bit different. Go, do you know what? There's something there. I'm going to retain him this year. My problem is, right, we bring in Gray and stuff. We keep them around and we farm all of our youngsters out on loan.
Yeah.
Why? Why can't you give some of our youngsters the opportunity? At Tottenham Hotspur, we are okay with giving 18, 19, 20-year-olds an opportunity because we've paid for them. And this is the same with the fans, by the way. It's a fan mentality as well, where they're going, we paid for them. There must be talent there. Let's give them an opportunity. But people inside the club and Tottenham fans are very reluctant for academy kids to really be given that opportunity. And I think it's a travesty, because when have people heard me go on about the academy before this? Not so much. The reason why I was banging on about the academy is because there is so much talent there that if you nurture that, you know, you look at the homegrown problem we have in the Champions League every year, or every year we go into Europe, we're pissing about with 5-6 goalkeepers. You go and look at every other club's registration list. They're not pissing about with the same problem, but we are. So therefore, you know, in order to solve that problem, there's no better time than now to be able to pull through some academy players and solve that issue. Sorry, one second. I'm going to take over there.
Yeah, just, I mean, I said it last season as well to you one time, played the kids. I think I said it with Philip Brady when we were doing the show, and he was saying, no, you need to play experience, which is fair enough. I get that. But you got to play the kids sometimes. And I think we've got so much talent there. It's unreal. I mean, I love Josh Keighley. I think Josh Keighley is going to be a great goalkeeper. Great Irish, young Irish lad. Great goalkeeper for us. But we've got to play them more this season. The likes of Donnelly, the likes of Mikey Moore, the likes of other them. Under youngsters that have come through that are Lancashire as well. Play him. Why can we not give him a go? And Thomas Frank, for me, has to play these youngsters in pre-season and really put them in. This is your chance. This is your chance to impress me, to let you know that you're retained in my Premier League squad. That is what he's got to do. Just go through the chat very quickly. Big up Stevie Fraser. He said, Tequila, I didn't for a second. but plenty of fans telling me Frank will save us and Levy wants trophies. I like Frank, but with Levy doing Levy things, it's going to be hard. Stevie, it's going to be 100% hard. You know that as well as I do. Tottenham, no, we never will under Levy, and that is for sure. We've got Shawnee says, LOL, something Dave and I actually agree on. Yeah, I know you both do, Shawnee. Dave, just to finish off, man, what is your hope for pre-season? Well, I mean, look, we've got pre-season games. We're away to Reading. We're away to Luton. We've got a couple of games. We've got one in Hong Kong against Arsenal. Then we've got a couple in Korea. And then we've got Bayern Munich. And then we've got the Super Cup against PSG. What are you hoping, just quickly, what are you hoping for pre-season? I'm hoping for consistency and a type of play that we know that sees us improve under Ange. As Thomas Frank says, he wants to stand on the shoulders of what we've done in the past. But you can't do that without buying decent players in. So what's your hope for pre-season, man?
Look, when it comes to pre-season, Dermo, a lot of people sort of are of the opinion, you can't take too much from pre-season.
Yeah.
But this is a discussion I actually had with Jack the other day behind the scenes. You know, if you actually look back at last season, right, under Postecoglou in the pre-season, it wasn't a great pre-season. You know, Son was crap pre-season.
Yeah.
Crap all season long. Madison, not great pre-season, came to the fore near the end. Sort of correlates with the campaign he had. You know, MIA for the start of it, come to the fore near the end. You know, some of our, you know, I remember coming out of that pre-season. Well, all the likes of Bergvall had a great pre-season. Jed Spence had a great pre-season. He went on to have good seasons for Tottenham. You know, Kulusevski, for instance, you know, came back, hit the ground running, great preseason, was our best player up until he got injured. You know, so I think, you know, maybe that's starting to change because preseason used to be about people running off the beer and the food and everything else they used to eat when they had their time off. They're not like that now. They keep themselves fit.
No.
A lot of these footballers are going into a week or two camp before they hit preseason. So, you know, I think maybe it's that starting to change where you can actually maybe judge what you're going to see for the upcoming season, you know, because when you actually look back and look at Mikey Moore and stuff like that, the best performers from preseason. Well, when you come out of the season, some of them players that performed best in the preseason were our best players over the course of the season. Some of the players that were shit in preseason didn't have the best of campaigns and they were our senior players. And a lot of them let us down this season or the season just gone. So there's a direct correlation from preseason and what actually happened in the season. So for me, I think I'll get a lot out of this preseason and what I'm expecting going forward in terms of what I see in front of me. So it'll be very interesting.
It will. Look, I was just looking right. I can't believe Modric is on the free this summer.
He's already gone to AC Milan. It's tied up.
But the point I'm making is there was players like that, experienced players we could have brought in for a year.
Imagine what Bergvall and Gray would learn off that guy.
Yeah, I know. It's players like that really makes you mad because you think he's free. Give him the wages he wants. He's not going to want a lot because Modric would want to come back to Tottenham, try to give back to these younger players. He'd probably look at it and think, do you know what? I can come back for, say, 60, 70 grand a week, but the amount I can teach these youngsters around me and learn a bit how he plays football and how he dedicates himself to the game. A lot of the players today don't dedicate them. You see the likes of James Maddison and Brennan Johnson at the darts after we lost against Arsenal, which really pissed you and me off.
Just quickly, breaking news, Chelsea, if João Pedro from Brighton has moved to Chelsea, he's passed his medical.
See, that's another player we could have gone for. We're sitting around just holding our hands under ours and just thinking, we'll let everyone make the best signings and we'll pick up scraps. It's just so frustration, so frustrated, Dave. But listen, man, thank you so much for coming on. Well, thank you for doing the first episode of this. I'm really looking forward to this continuing this podcast. Where can people find you, sir? On this once a week, but where can they find you on a regular basis?
Yeah, look, first of all, I've really enjoyed this. You know, it was a good hour-long discussion. This is what it's going to be moving forward. You know, so, you know, if you've enjoyed today, make sure you return back for the next one. We'll try and get it consistent where we sort of do the same day, same time. that may vary, you know, me and Dermot both have busy lives outside of here, so that may vary, but we are going to try and do it the same days, yeah. And all. Make sure you smash the like here and smash the subscribe button, you know, Dermot and the boys here, Tequila and the rest of the crew, they all work really, really hard, so please make sure you reward them for that. Look, if you want to find me or you want to get to know me, you can find me over at the Irish Hotspur. I'm getting to the point now where me and Jack are going to try and do stuff a bit more regularly, you know. Obviously, we're not going to force stuff or invent stuff. Not going to start doing that. But, you know, when things come out, we'll start sharing our opinions a bit more regularly on it and stuff like that. So get over and check out the Irish Hotspur. We did do, we dropped the video today, actually, you know, of the areas of the squad that needs improvement under Thomas Frank, and maybe put a couple of suggestions forward in terms of players that Spurs can go after. So if you want to get over, check out that latest video, give us your comments underneath and smash a like. That'd be awesome. Thank you for listening.
Yeah. No, thank you. And also, thanks, Dave, for coming on. I really enjoyed this. I really enjoyed talking with you. And you're the one that gave me my break all them years ago, gave me the opportunity to go onto YouTube and set me on the path that I'm on now. I've got one little job to do before we end, and it is to give our channel sponsor a bit of a shout out. I know Dave likes to talk about NordVPN. Well, I have a different VPN for you lads to lose. It's private internet access, the second best VPN, well, the best VPN around. I know Dave's going to kill me for that one. But yeah, guys, they are a channel sponsor. And save me talking about it and to save me absolutely just boring you to death, we're going to send over to our regular maestro who does this so brilliantly as our voiceover actor. He's starred in many a great films as My Left, Right, Left Foot. He stars in also Doncaster Blinders as well. It is Colm O'Connor. Not Colm O'Connor. What am I thinking of? I can't think of his name now. The Irish actor. Oh, what's his name? Name's going to out my head. Anyway, he's him. But here's Colm to tell you all about private internet access. It's 85% off at the moment, by the way, guys. You get that for 2 years plus 4 months free. So here's Colm very quickly before we end.
Let me talk to you. A little reference there, but I'm going to stop messing about. I'm going to talk to you about private internet access, the best VPN in the land. Now, when you're online, you may not realize, but all of your data is there for the taking by anybody. With a VPN such as private internet access, your data is safe and secure, streamlined, and nobody else can get hold of it. That's why I use one anyway. VPNs, very easy to use. Private internet access, all you got to do is log on your phone, select where you want to be. So I want to be in America, and I click go, and there we are. You can also link up your devices to it from your phone, if that is easier for you. It's available on a lot of platforms as well, as you can see, and you can use it for a very, very big range of things. So that's even better as well. You can use it, like I said, on all your devices, smartphone, tablets, gaming consoles, and stick it on your modem, and it's unlimited devices. One equals all. It's available all across the world, and it works perfectly. What they do is they mask your IP address, so pesky 3 o'clock kickoffs aren't an issue anymore, and they're independently audited, so there's no logs, 30 million customers, and 4.5-star Trustpilot. Rated excellent review. Private internet access. Get yours now.
And there we go, guys. There is the link. The link is in the description below. There is also YouTube Awards, I think, on the 5th of July, guys. We are nominated for 2 YouTube Awards, the most underrated channel and the best daytime channel, which I find very hard to believe because we always go at 8 o'clock at night. But I don't know how they'll work that one out. But it's daytime somewhere in the world. But do that. I'm sure Dave's up for a couple of awards as well. So do hit and vote for Dave's channel and do vote for us as well. I quite like to get the most underrated channel. I would like to get that award because I feel we are a bit of an underdog channel. We're a bit like the Irish in the 90s under Jack Charlton. The underdogs, 88, playing against England. Nobody gave us a hope in hell. What do? We go Ray Houghton, puts it in the back of the net, and we beat England. And it took 33 years before England beat us at football again. They claimed they taught the world football. Ireland taught them how to play it. But Dave, thank you very much for watching that. We will talk about Ireland in the next episode because I think there's something to talk about there. But can we qualify for the World Cup? We will find that in episode 2. But guys, thank you all for watching. Do hit the like on Dave's. Do hit the like and subscribe here as well. And keep it Irish, lads. We are the Irish lads that talk Spurs. Come on, you Spurs. And big Thomas Frank, we trust. We never stop, as Dave says. Big up. Eyes on the prize. Victory in sight with all our might. With all our might. With all our might. Thank you so much.